drives a cool while I'm out. I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they judge me.
This is hot garbage.
Two big meat sandwiches collide and splash.
All right, everybody, coming at you.
Soundboard works.
Cal Podcast, let's go. It's enough. What up? Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast. I am back. In the States, baby, in a state of confusion, in a state of constant sexuality, in a state of caffeination, ready to discuss all of my spicy wrestling reactions.
Is your microphone in a good position now?
Is it fucked up? Do I keep moving it?
I don't know.
I know, I keep moving up.
Oh, boy.
Right, well, now I moved it again. That wasn't good for business. People are talking. What up? Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. Tulo, what up? Nick Tulo in the house. At Tiptoe Tulo.
What's up? I feel like I'm wearing a lot of fire merch right now.
Why are you sounding so low to me? I got to adjust my set. I'm back in studio for a while, so I got to adjust my settings. Tulo, talk.
We probably should have did a check before this. I mean, we were hanging out like 15 minutes before the podcast started.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things we should do, you know? There's a lot of things that we should do. Whew. Welcome back, everybody. I will tell you this. I was in Mexico. Everybody knows I was in Mexico for 2 weeks. I am happy to be back in the States, you know? Happy to be back in the States. I'm happy to be back home. Nothing feels like home, people say, and people are not lying. How are you, Tulo?
I'm doing good. Yeah, man. It's been a busy time at work, but I'm happy we're back. I'm happy there's really good professional wrestling on, and I'm just overall just happy boy.
Okay. All right. Good. Glad you're happy.
Thanks, man.
As opposed to being not happy, that's good.
Yeah, wow. I'm groovy, baby.
Are you drinking?
I'm having a beer.
Tulo, so you're a guy who just like crushes a beer, like you get home from like a day of work and then you just shiner, right? You're also is that Oktoberfest?
Mm-hmm.
So you're a guy.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not that guy. But
you crack it just for the pod then?
I mean, I had a busy day of work and then I sat down and football was on and I was like, now's a good time for a beer. And I had one and then I was like, all right, well, I'm going to record. I want another one.
Oh, so it's your second beer.
Second beer. That's it. Casual beer. Like a glass of wine.
Yeah. I'm just saying I'm jealous of that. Like I want to be a guy. I want to be like, I've always, like, I don't even think to drink. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
fine.
Not like drinking, like, you know, like I'll drink when I'm out at like if I'm out at dinner or something, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, I'll order a drink is here. But I never go on the couch and go like, maybe I'll just crack one, you know?
Mm. Well, do you have beer in your house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. I have beers like I have. Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, I don't usually I'd rather open up a bottle of wine and have a glass or two or three or the whole bottle
of
wine.
Okay, so now I'm even more jealous. Okay, now I'm even more jealous because I'm like, I don't even think to like, oh, maybe pour a glass of wine with dinner. Like, that doesn't even cross my mind as a way to unwind, you know?
Yeah, I mean, wine is a great way. If you had a tough day, like, just opening up a nice bottle of red and pouring yourself a glass. And then,
that makes sense because I've never not had a tough day. I can't even think of a day that wasn't tough. I feel like the amount
and
of wine.
Red kind of like mellows, you know, that red wine kind of mellows you out. Like, I like to drink beer when sports are on. It's a very sports heavy time of the year. Baseball's going on. Playoffs are about to start. Football's back.
Can't relate to any of that. That's one thing I'm not jealous of. I'm not jealous of that you care about sports.
That's fine.
Is football fever? like higher this year. I noticed a lot of people seem more pumped for football to come back than
I think
before.
It's like the overall like general state of life now. Everything feels like everybody's very excited that like things are back. Like this feels like the real first year of normalcy, right? Last year still wasn't that normal, but now like everybody's like, oh shit, football's back, like, and they're ready to go to games and go to bars and get fucked up. Like, we just had UT versus Alabama. I know this means nothing to you, but that Alabama's the number one college football team. And like Austin was insane for like the whole weekend, dude. It was nuts. And it wasn't like that. Like they didn't have that game last year, but you never got that vibe around the city. So things are back. People are going out, starting to do things again. They're losing their minds. They have no self-control.
Maybe I get – all right, I'm trying to figure out, like, so why are people into collegiate sports, right? Like, what's the benefit of college sport over, like, professional?
Well,
right?
Because you have more of a personal connection by – a lot of the times it's people who support college sports went to that school. So, like, if you went to University of Florida, you know, like – or if you went to fucking UCLA, or like if you went to those schools, a part of your way of life. I mean, you went to Delaware. I went to every single college on Long Island. Okay? I didn't have an affiliation with, so I'm not really into college sports.
Well, that's why I'm a huge Rich Gannon fan, because he went to University of Delaware.
Yeah, I love Rich Gannon.
Wait, who did
the Super Bowl, didn't
Joe
he?
Flacco?
Joe Flacco.
I think he went to my college. I think he was the quarterback at UD.
And he was.
Like, wait, how is Delaware, University of Delaware, pumping out any actual athletes? Like, what, wouldn't you play at like a better place? You know,
I think Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
I think he did. I think he was like the Ravens, maybe.
Yeah, I think he did.
And I'm like, he went to Delaware? News to me. I mean, okay, so I'm always like, yo, why are people fans of like teams? I don't really get. I've talked about this before. I think it's one of the great cons, you know, like, oh, this is my team, you know. But I guess at the same time, it's like familially, I get it, because like my dad is like a Yankees fan, and that's like passed down, so that's kind of cool. But college, bro, now college is let's talk about so that, whatever. But college is becoming like completely irrelevant, right? Like the concept of college is kind of a scam, you know what I mean? And so now you're going to have pride in this place that like didn't do shit for you, right?
I mean, the counterpoint there is it didn't do shit for you, but you probably had like some of the best times of your life. Like,
well, that
you know.
Is the reason that college rules.
Yeah.
The reason that college rules is because it's not a place for learning anything for most, but it's a place
for partying, getting fucked up.
Yeah. It's a place where your parents pay $100,000 for people just to party.
Like insane amount of money.
Oh man. Anyway, so but you're like, oh man, I don't know. I'm trying to think about it. I guess you could be like, all right, hey, college. I had a great time in college. I got a lot of pride in that place. I want people to like also party there. So in a way, it makes more sense than being a fan of just like this is the New York team. You know?
Yeah.
Because you're like New York. Ah, that's where I was born. Whatever. All right. Anyway.
We talking know, like, about
what are we even talking about? I don't know. I'm getting warm, baby.
It's, by the way, if you're
warm.
New, stay, keep listening. Okay,
we will
this
talk
is
about
a podcast
this is a about Jurassic podcast. We're gonna be talking about
And I also think you said
familiarity.
You did not say familiarity.
Familiarly.
It was like familiarly.
Is familiarly a word?
I don't know. That just sounded familiarly. Like you were. Familiarly.
Is a word.
There's got to be an R in there.
Familiarly is a word. Wait, is Wait, that's familiarity. The quality of. Oh my God, yo, the word. You're going to love this. The word familiarity. The definition.
That's not what you said. Just so let's be clear. That's not what you said.
No, I know the word I said. But the word familiarity. What'd
you say? Okay.
The definition of that is the quality of being familial. Okay. I said familiarly. Wait, familiarly is a word, bro. It's familiarly is within a family among like blood relatives.
Bro, you legit said that, and it stopped me in my tracks. I was like, "What did he just say,
bro?" Because you know what? Because I got my education at UD, baby. Big game, Joe Flacco and Rich Gannon.
Anyway, were you guys like the Bluebirds or something? Blue hens.
Yeah, everyone, people love the blue hen. You know, the funny thing about a college, I went to University of Delaware, right? The funny thing about going to school like UD is like, it's actually not that easy to get into. It feels like a school where you're like, hey, it's a whatever school, but it's pretty competitive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then when I expanded my, so like, you know, Long Island, I think people kind of respect it because it's more of like a Northeast school, you know? Mm-hmm. But it carries no weight once you get into California. You know, when you hit the West Coast, no one's like University of Delaware, but they do know like Maryland. You know what I mean? Like Michigan. Yeah. The thing about UD, just like the whole state of Delaware, you know, it carries no fucking weight.
Yeah, nothing. It's like this big.
Fucking Rich Gannon and Flacco. Nothing. The Rock kicked off football. Did you see that?
I did. I thought may have been one of his worst promos ever.
Okay, I gotta be honest. It's interesting you say that. He
fumbled, all puns intended.
What did he say?
He was like,
I think the Rock's been a little off lately. I gotta be honest.
Maybe Black Adam took a little out of him.
Well, I don't think Black Adam trailer looks bad. Am I wrong about that? Did you like it? Did you see it?
I mean, I'm not going to go see that in the theaters.
That trailer was bad. So I've seen it a couple times because it's played before movies I've seen, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously I get pumped for The Rock. He looks awesome, whatever. But literally the trailer, he's like, I was a slave and then I died and I came back as a god. And you're like, okay, like, what? Is there more to this? Like, okay, like, it's a stupid origin story, you know? This big A to Z jumps in there, you know what I mean? Like, we're like, I was just like, then I mean, died,
there's like,
and then I came back as a god. Like, he hit the lock of the draw there. It's not a great origin.
I'm just saying,
like,
if we're gonna use,
too long. I'm talking over you because Batman's in the way, by the way.
Okay. I mean,
Batman's in the way, by the way.
Wait, I mean, if we're gonna make it official,
makes so much. His origin story is, and I'm that's why it's, I'll hold it because I'm trying to find the Batman in the way because I'm Batman's origin story is like he watched his parents get murdered and then he's like, I gotta dedicate my life to fighting crime so this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Done, okay, done. Even, Spider-Man. Okay. I got bit by a radioactive spider and now I have the abilities of a spider. Right? I was a slave and then I died and I came back as a god. that's not that great. And he's, anyway. It's actually the same origin story, I believe, of Christian Bale in Thor. Love and Thunder. I think it's the same thing. Anyway, too low. What were you saying?
I mean, if we're going to use the biggest movie star in the world as superhero, can we make him like Batman? You know? I mean, or like Superman, or like, I mean,
Batman in the way of doing the pot. What was that?
Man.
I'm just saying this. I don't know anything about the Black Adam character, but I was unimpressed by that. And then the trailer just was like kind of boring. The plot looked boring. I
mean, honestly, who's going to see that movie?
Here's the deal. I think the Rock's Die Hards, only had, right? I think he's only had one real flop. I think the movie Rampage was a flop for him.
Really?
I mean, since he's, you know what I mean? Like post-Fast and Furious Rock.
I feel like Rampage got four moves. back in the day.
I don't think I even saw Rampage, so I don't think.
I think you
did. I did.
I think there was a Rampage Cal movie review. I could be wrong. I mean,
I don't think I saw it. Let's see. Wait, let's see. The Rampage, The Rock. Let's see what was the gate.
I just. Here, oh my god! I just saw the dog jump off your made couch. A ton of- and thought it happened in my room, and I turned around and looked to see the dog, and it was.
The Rampage made a ton of dough.
Ton of dough, right? I thought so.
Ton of dough. I think in the theaters it didn't do that well.
Can you bring up like the Rock's top grossing films of all time? This is the best podcast in the world.
Even 2 years after its release. Yeah, it's pretty funny because I think it was. I don't know. Anyway, what am I looking up? The Rock's. Oh, you want to get like guess The Rock's biggest box office?
Jumanji. You think Jumanji has to be number one?
10 highest.
Jumanji
grossing...
1 and Jumanji 2 might be 1-2 for him.
Well, so this article is from July, so this is new. All right. Number 10, coming in it. Wait, so how do we want to do this? You want to guess number one? Christina, you want to play? All right.
Yeah, Christina. Right. I'm on board with Christina saying Jumanji's number one, but I feel like I'm instantly going there, and I'm not thinking of every other fucking movie that this guy's been in.
Well, I'm going to say I think the number one highest grossing one is going to be like Fast 5 or something. Oh, we forget about
those ones. I was thinking of Fast.
It's kind of like cheating, though, because it's not really a Rock per se, but I'm going to say I'm going to
feel like Skyscraper is going to
Fast 5.
I feel like Skyscraper is going to sneak in.
Fast and the Furious number 5. It's called Fast 5.
I feel like Jungle Cruise. But Jungle Cruise was a box office.
No, it's not. It's not called Fast and Furious 5. It's called Fast 5. Right?
Fast 5.
It's called Fast 5. I never heard of that movie. You never heard of it? Fast and Furious 5? It's called Fast 5, though. It is Fast and Furious 5, but they called it Fast 5. All right, Christina, give me a look.
Okay, so what other movies has he been in? Talk about Rock movies real quick?
We're doing the Rock detour. I'm saying Fast 5. Right. Christina, you said Jumanji. And Tulo.
I think I also go Jumanji.
All right.
I feel like I'm missing a very obvious
Rampage one. Made $428 million. The one we were just talking about. Definitely not a flop. Okay. I was not right. Okay. Number 9. This is surprising. The Mummy Returns.
Oh, yeah.
He was joining that franchise. Did you also see that The Rock? Two things about The Rock. The Rock, he congratulated Brendan Fraser. Did you see that?
Yeah. For what?
Brendan Fraser got a 6-minute standing ovation at the Venice Film Festival, for his movie called The Whale, which, interesting fact, is it's called The Whale. It's Darren Aronofsky's new movie coming out. Darren Aronofsky made The Wrestler.
Oh, really?
Great movie. Yeah, Darren Aronofsky is a fucking great filmmaker, except for the movie Mother. That thing's an actual piece of crap. He said he wrote it in 5 days, and it shows. Now, I didn't see the movie The Fountain. He made this movie The Fountain. But Darren Aronofsky also made Black Swan, which is an incredible movie. Yeah.
Movies the something?
Black Swan is no the, Tulo. Oh. He's Tulo, folks. He's two beers deep.
I was thinking of that before you said Black Swan.
Familially.
Yeah. I'm not going to recover.
Familially a word? Familially.
No, that's like familia. It's like family. Yeah.
You know, like familial? Like if something's familial, like that's familial thing. You don't know that word yet? Yeah, it is. It is a word. And familially. Yeah. If it's familial. Like, you're feels like family. That's like familial, you know?
It sounds like a word.
It is a word. And then there's familially and familiality. All right, this is a pro wrestling podcast. Number 9 is The Mummy Returns. Number 8, San Andreas.
Ooh, San Andreas.
By the way, fun fact. These movies are making, like, pretty close. I mean, not really when you think about it. It's $443 million. $473 million is a lot more,
What about him and Kevin Hart? I feel like they did a comedy.
Yeah,
together.
I know. That's actually a great one. Like Central Intelligence, that might be number one. You know?
Yeah.
All right. 8, San Andreas. Number 7, Fast 5.
Fast 5, there it is.
Which was my pick for number 1.
Also known as Fast and the Furious 5.
Also known for Christina, Fast and the Furious 5. What did Tulo say? Tulo said...
Are you slowly scrolling up so it reveals?
All right, Fast 5. But, here's the jump, though. The jump to San Andreas. San Andreas made $473 million, and then Fast 5 made $626. Big jump.
Damn.
Oh, man. You know what? The one I'm seeing that's number 6 is probably what I would have chosen if I thought about it, but it's only number 6, which is Moana. It's $643 million.
Wow. I thought that would have been – now that you say it, I'm shocked it's only that. I thought it would be more.
Well, what can you say?
This is a great list.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I never saw spoiler alert, never saw it.
You never saw Moana? It's terrific. No. It's very good. It. And The Rock is great in it. He has the best song in it, I think. What can I say except you're welcome? Is that song? And then he has the other one is He doesn't sing that. The Rock doesn't sing that. The other one's
is that from Frozen?
All right, number 5. You ready? By the way, it's Pro Wrestling Podcast. Number 5 is this movie stunk ass. Number 5, Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh yeah, I don't think I even watched that.
$758 million.
That's insane. $758 million that made.
Who's Shaw and who's Hobbs?
He's Hobbs. Shaw is Jason Statham. All right, number 4 is Fast and Furious 6, which made more than 5. If anyone ever was curious about that, $788 million.
And more than Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh my God. Number 3, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Which made $962 million. Basically made $1 billion. Wow.
Oh my God. Did Skyscraper make a billy?
I don't know, bro. Skyscraper might not be on here, bro. But we'll find out. Number
what
two.
Else is left? Tooth Fairy?
Bro, number 2. Whoa. Number 2 is. The Fate and the Furious? The Fate of the Furious? Jesus. When was that come out? Oh, that's...
Is that... What is it? What?
Is this the before filming was complete on Fast and Furious 7? I think this is what Fast and the Furious 8 was called. What? Fate? The Fate of the Furious? I don't even remember heard of that. You?
What?
It's number 2. All right, are you that's ready for crazy. The number 1 grossing rock film?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Jumanji 2?
Furious 7.
Oh my God, dude.
Is that Fast and the Furious?
I mean, I feel like I kind of got this right. Wait. By saying a fast movie. No?
That's so.
Was this Fast and the Furious 7?
The Fate of the Furious was 8. 7, Fast and Furious, and what was it called? Fast and the Furious 7?
The Fate of the Furious.
Maybe no, that's 8.
Fate rhymes with 8?
What was number 1?
Fast 7. It's called Furious 7, though. I mean, the namings of these are wild.
Furious 7, which one was that? Oh, that was the one with Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey was in that, too.
The Rock is so wealthy. Christina just realized how wealthy The Rock is.
Yeah, he's a billionaire. Did
fun fact
that?
About The Rock, he retweeted my trainer on his TikTok. He put it like,
love that.
Like, you know, when he does a, it's about drive. It's about, you know, that like, rap, that like kind of lame rap verse he does. You know?
Yeah. Don't, your trainer was working out to that?
Wait, that, no, he does a video where he's fire. Drinking Zoa and he raps that. And then like people can like post your train. Like, I think he pulled her video offline of her training, you know? And then posted it.
Oh man,
it. Pretty
society
cool.
is crazy.
Yeah. Wow. All right. That was pretty interesting. I'm glad we went there. But Darren Aronofsky. So the Rock, this is the thing about The Rock. It's so interesting. He's like, he's connected to everything. So like Brendan Fraser, who is kind of like at this point, he became kind of like, I hate talking about people like this, but he was definitely like a pretty irrelevant actor at this point, right? Clearly past his prime. Also, the thing with Brendan Fraser is that he also like put on a ton of weight and he was losing his hair. He looked really, he looks even now, because the part he's playing in this movie, apparently he plays like a 600-pound like gay man who's trying to connect with his daughter. It's like very sad, damn. Intense drama. But the story of this is Brendan Fraser. So Brendan Fraser gets this big ovation, you know, and it revitalizes his whole career. He's like super relevant again, you know? And The Rock just like is a fucking heat magnet. Immediately tweets out like, big props to my man, Brendan Fraser, who like was big supporter of me being in Scorpion King, you know, my first big movie, you know? And you're like, The Rock, The Rock cannot be, like, he cannot avoid heat, you know? He's I'll fucking ride the fucking heat of Brendan Fraser's comeback, you know? Like, he's connected to that, you know? That's the thing about The Rock. He's like, it's like anybody does anything, he's like, yo, shout out to my man who did this, you know?
Tamina wins the 24/7 title. Yeah. Yo, Tamina, I bought you a house.
Yeah, I bought you a house. Like, you know, it's like anything can happen. The Rock finds a way. He's like, one time I shook this guy's hand, you know? But I was saying The Rock's slipping because, you know, obviously not slipping the physique, and obviously he's the man always and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Just, I've seen him just be like a little more lame, a little lamer than I liked lately. Just enough. That's it. I don't know. Why is he? He was in football twice, right? Did he do the Super Bowl and then he kicked off the season, right? That's enough, SoFi. It's enough.
Hey, SoFi.
Cool thing about SoFi, by the way,
home of WrestleMania.
I flew over SoFi on my way back. It's right by the airport. It's beautiful. They make the glass ceiling say SoFi. Like, it's very cool to look at from the plane, you know?
Sick.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
All right. Pro wrestling.
Let's talk pro wrestling.
That might have been the greatest opening 27 minutes in podcast history.
Was it?
We're like, we're back. Yeah, we're back to regular. We're back to regular record, guys. We're back. Everything's back. Let's get back in the groove. 30 minutes later.
Oh yeah, let's talk wrestling. Did you ask for questions?
I did.
Funny, I was going to tell you to do that.
Hey, well, you know, sometimes when things get back together, you know, we're on the same wavelength.
Let's take questions as we go, because but I want to talk quickly about Grand Slam. I just want to say that AEW, because we talked a bunch of crap about them last week, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to say this. I'll always give them props for how they make random Wednesdays feel important. I still think it's the best thing they do, you know?
Well, Grand Slam is still just
a Raw, you know?
That's it.
Right?
Which is interesting, because here's something I thought about AEW, right? So there was a time from like, what was the one in Vegas? Double or Nothing into July, where every single thing they did to like Forbidden Door, every single show was like, there was Road Rager, there was Fighter Fest, there was fucking
Fighter Fest,
Clash, I don't know, something at Quake at the Lake, like every single show. And nothing felt special. Like, it didn't feel like it was special anymore because they were doing so much. Right. This one feels a little more special just because of the history that Grand Slam has, right? So, like, I think of Grand Slam and I think of Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson, right? And I'm like, oh, shit. But this one, I feel like they're feeling like they're forcing themselves to treat it like a big deal.
Yeah.
And they could be missing, but at the same time, I think they're in a money zone right now, right? But like, it's Dynamite was I think awesome this week, and the ratings were like crazy. They were like almost at 1.2 million. So like, man, oh man, is wrestling back, because everybody's tuning in right now. I don't know if you feel that, but I feel like everybody's looking. Like, there's not a week in wrestling that goes by right now where there isn't something going on. This week was the PWI 500. So, like, we're in this interesting era. And then now we're on the precipice of Grand Slam. NXT Black and Gold is back. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you call me the supermark all you want, Dan Black. But, like, I think it's easy to admit that we are just right there right now, you know?
Wrestling is an interesting, cool zone. I mean, wrestling is very dope right now. I think the biggest thing in wrestling is the lack of Vince. That's what makes everything feel the fuck like real
fresh.
You know, it makes everything feel real interesting because it's interesting to watch WWE and not assume that they're gonna fuck it up. You know, so that's pretty fucking cool. But here's my thing. What I was saying is that Daniel Bryan Moxley is definitely a big match. You know, no way around.
Massive.
That's a massive match.
It's Cobra Kai.
It's a massive match. It's cool. It's not as big as if we got CM Punk Daniel Bryan though. You know, that would have been way bigger. And that's why it's interesting because one of the questions here, I'll just jump right to the question because this will tie in. But John Silva said, he said, if Tony Khan has to choose between keeping Punk or keeping the Elite, who should he keep? You know, and my immediate answer was like the Elite, you know, because first off, it's more talent and whatever they started it. But it is still interesting that my brain then goes, yeah, Daniel Bryan Punk, that's the match. You know,
well, here's another argument too, and this can tie into one of the other questions as well. But like, CM Punk was the number three wrestler on that list this year.
I know. Are you talking about the PWI list?
Yeah. So talk about interesting things like to add to the weight of it. It's like, wow, well, this guy arguably had one of the better years up until recent, and outside of recent, that's actually when it didn't. So if you take when the scale that
number four is Page too, it's Hangman, yeah, right.
So it's like, it's that's a great question, but I mean, I think for the longevity of AEW, I think you have to keep the Elite, right? Because the Elite are what AEW is, literally in the fucking name of wrestling. AEW is Elite. So without the Elite, does AEW actually even exist? And I would probably say no, but we could be leaning more towards that soon, you know? Like, a very interesting time to see what happens. I mean, we're still very much in the dark about everything.
Gun to the head. Who do you think number 57 is on the PWI list?
I'm gonna say that'd be someone pretty good, right?
Yeah, pretty good.
What company?
WWE.
Let's go with Rey Mysterio.
No. Take three guesses. Number 57 on the PWI list.
Single superstar?
Not currently, but not in a tag team either, but he's in a stable.
Whoa. Damian Priest.
It's Damian Priest. That was pretty good, bro. That was pretty fucking good.
I went from Rey Mysterio, Damian Priest. I'm kind of, it's island of relevancy there, you know? I was in the right ballpark with my first guess.
Well, you asked if he was... Well, all right. Now you have to guess what number is Rey Mysterio. He is on the list. I will tell you that.
74.
Oh my God, that's a crazy guess. He's 174.
Whoa.
He's
what's Dominic
further,
Mysterio?
But you said 74. You know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mercury's in retrograde. That's probably why I'm just
people
not
are talking. What does that mean, by the way? All right, Dom Mysterio, guess what he is? I'll tell you this. He's higher up, lower on the list, meaning, like, worse than his father.
222.
Yo, bro, 292. You're off by one number. All right, ready? Hold on. This list goes to 500, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is, I think this is fun.
Yeah.
All right. Who is No, that's not going to be fun. You'll never get that. All right. Who's number 250?
250. Now, this is going to be my formula. I'm going to give a guess, and then you could tell me if I'm in the right company or not. Okay?
I'll say 250? He's not in WWE. I'll say that.
Already.
Yeah.
250 is going to be... Eddie Kingston.
No. No.
I feel like that's really downgrading.
I like that guess, though. I feel like Eddie Kingston's got to be higher than 250, right?
Yeah, he's probably like in the 100s range.
Yeah, he's got to be at least. Eddie Kingston might be
top 100.
I think he might be. I'm going to guess he's in double digits, Eddie Kingston. All right, I'll give you more hints of this guy.
Okay.
He's a guy who that like they thought he's in. He's in. AEW.
Okay.
He's in AEW. They thought he wasn't. They thought he wasn't going to get re-signed.
And then he got re-signed.
And then he did get re-signed.
My guess was Claudio.
No. Probably low. He's probably pretty bad.
He didn't really wrestle
most of the year. Yeah.
Thought he was going to get re-signed, but didn't get re-signed. Joey Janela.
Nope.
Oh,
Big Jack. All right,
what
guy.
Is it? Big Jack guy. Big Jack guy. Brian Cage.
Yes, 250. Brian Cage. All right, guess Eddie Kingston.
All right, so I fucked up with the Eddie Kingston 250. I was just
okay.
Dumb.
First
I
off,
apologize
Eddie Kingston
for that.
Or Kofi Kingston, who has a better ranking? Okay.
Ooh,
since I did control F on this, I have both Kingstons up.
And Eddie isn't even the number one Kingston that CM Punk wrestled.
According to
CM Punk.
You said it was Kofi, right?
Eddie or Kofi? I mean, my gut wants to say Kofi, but I think Eddie might actually be higher.
Eddie has better. Eddie's better. It's technically lower, right? But yeah.
It's higher on the list. Let's go. I'm going to say Eddie Kingston, 63.
Okay. And what are you giving Kofi Kingston?
71.
Eddie Kingston at 40.
Wow.
That's
good for
really
Eddie Kingston.
Good, right?
Yeah. He wrestled a ton, too. He was in every match. I seriously undervalued Eddie Kingston, and that's bad of me.
Kofi Kingston, 85.
Yeah. Not a lot of. I moments for
well, let's
Kofi
talk about
this
Peter Bye list. Like these lists are always fun. They're stupid and they're fun, you know.
Well, the number one talked about thing was Moxley not being in the top 10.
So Moxley's number 12 here, which I think is crazy, to be honest. Especially when you look at some of the people.
Well, the parameters of the PWI 500 are interesting, right? It has a lot to do with like wins and title reigns.
Right?
Wins, title yeah. reigns, like
it's kind of fun because it's kayfabe, right? Like it goes by booking, right?
Yeah.
Like Roman is number one in here, like that's awesome because he's clearly number one. I like that they respect him like that, you know. I think Omega is he's not even going to be on here, right? Because he didn't wrestle. No, they put him 19 still. All right, makes no sense, but all right.
Cody missed time, Mox missed time.
Yeah, but Cody did enough. His impact was strong. Cody should be like number two, but he's number six.
Big E number nine. Big E number nine. Love that.
So Big E number nine, I mean, I like the sentiment of it, but I don't know. He did not have a better year.
Matt Cardona, 13.
Big E. Should not be lower on this list than Moxley. That's just crazy. Not to even knock Big E's spot, but Moxley belongs below him. Or high, let's say, are we saying below or higher? Higher means, you know.
Yeah, Mike, above.
Above is better, right? We'll say it is better. All right, we'll swap that. All right, so number one's Roman Reigns. Number two is Okada. I don't know. I don't follow New Japan enough to know if that makes sense, you know. But whatever. Feels like Jay White should be.
Yeah, like he's
list.
Down there too. Jay
White
23.
Is number 23. It seems kind of crazy, no?
Yeah, it's kind of
like
it
a
is.
Killer year, no?
Yeah.
So then they put Okada, but then they put Punk. And I agree. I think Punk belongs. I think Punk does belong. I mean, he was hurt, but I don't know. But then Hangman and Page is so interesting, you know?
Here's the thing about this list.
Hangman and Page list is because he held the title for so long, right?
Yeah, but it's also just so, like, all over the place, this list. You know, like, they try and do a really good job, but, like, I think they just drop the ball with this thing where it's, like, get all the journalists and stuff together and have them submit, like, their votes and then, like, let the rest fall into place with something. Because this list is, it's like, I get it, but, like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
whatever.
All right.
Anyway, they put Lashley number 5, which I think is pretty interesting.
I love that. Well, you had the WWE title for a little bit, and
Lashley
and
had a pretty
US title.
I agree. Lashley deserves some. He does deserve some respect. All right, whatever. Rollins seems very low, stupidly low, as in terms of bad. Rollins at number 17.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. MJF number 16. MJF. I don't know. MJF should probably be in the top 10, to be honest. I guess he was gone for a little bit, but it was an effective gone.
Well, maybe next week we make our own lists again.
We make our own PWI list. We should follow the parameters. Do it our own way. Do they make a women's list?
They have a separate women's list, but it comes out like later in the year, I think like next month or something.
All right, Tulo, just to jump back to what we were actually talking about. So if Tony Khan had to choose between the two, the answer to this is he should at all costs try to keep both of them and tell them all to remember that this is pro wrestling and they owe it to the fans to feud in the ring. That's the bottom line. You know what I mean? Like,
I can't agree with that. And now like that whole sentiment more, like I completely agree.
Right. Like this is pro wrestling, baby. It's filthy. It's business. You guys don't need to fucking love each other. You know what I mean? But you need to protect each other in the ring and entertain the fans. And AEW as a company, if they all claim to care so much about this company, even though I'm reading that I showed you Young Bucks put some feelers out to WWE is what they said, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're sending me like sports Skeeta fucking screenshots over here, bro.
I don't know. I start to feel like the stuff that I read, I'm starting to think like it's all true. Enough of it is true.
Fucking QAnon got you, bro.
I don't know because
I don't know.
You don't think the Young Bucks feel believable?
Yeah, 100%.
Because like you got. I said this when Cody left. I said Cody leaving is a major crack in the foundation that the building the AEW is built on. Right?
Like, 100.
All these guys are going to start thinking, like, should I be going over there, too?
You know, I had a ripple effect,
I think.
The
perfect time to go over, you know? They can wrestle way safer in WWE. They'll make more money, and now they're starting to have, you know, all these guys are starting to see the chinks in the chain, you know, of AEW. Well,
I said to you also, was like, man, if NXT Black and Gold is coming back, and that's what they tease. Hold on, I got a burp. I just had a Waterloo grape seltzer, by the way. Big grape guy. Are you a grape guy?
I'm a big grape guy, like grape flavor or grape?
Because
those are two grape things flavor that have nothing to do with each other, correct?
Grape flavor, yeah. 100% accurate. They're not even the same thing.
Grape flavor is truly – who decided that grape flavored stuff has anything to do with grapes?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like
they're not even close.
Not even close. And also, wine is made from grapes, which is always surprising because it doesn't taste like grapes either. You know, a lot happens. You know, and then a raisin is also a grape somehow. I think I just stumbled upon my next Seinfeld bit. I mean,
the grapes. I'll tell you to write
that. I gotta write.
What is the deal with grapes?
We'll record this. I don't even want
sometimes there are flavors.
So the grape is doing a lot of flavor work considering something that tastes the same. Like, so when you think, here's another thing about grapes. Most people eat, is this fair to say? Most people eat, when you eat a grape, most of the time it's a green grape or no? Fair or unfair?
Fair.
I think more times green grapes are eaten more than the purple grape, but the purple grape gets way more love. correct or incorrect?
Correct.
Especially in art. Well, people ain't even interested in drawing a green grape.
Have you had these cotton candy grapes? They're fucking phenomenal.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never had cotton candy grapes?
Cotton candy grapes?
Yeah, they're grapes, but they have like taste like cotton candy. I actually kind of look like
But they grow in the ground? Like they're like actual, like a tree that makes these?
Yeah.
Wow. I got to get those. How do I get those?
I guarantee any supermarket will have them. Just go to the grape section and then look at the ones that say cotton candy grapes.
So the green grape, I think, is served a lot more than the purple grape. But the purple grape is the assumed default player grape.
Got a hot tip for you.
Okay.
Take some grapes,
yeah,
put them in the freezer. Then when you pour yourself a nice glass of white wine, instead of using ice cubes if you want to chill it, you put the green grapes in. That way your wine doesn't get watered down, and then you have a tasty treat at the end.
Wow. Is that something you do in like for events, or is it just something you just do for your life?
Yeah. Actually, something I discovered at an event. The host was using frozen grapes in wine, and I was like, that's a great idea.
Wow, I love that.
Just water down the wine.
I love that for you. I love that for me. I just love that in general. That's a great tip.
Everybody's, I mean, coming up to the fall, grab yourself a nice glass of Chardonnay.
Tulo's uses grapes as ice cubes.
Like you freeze the grapes.
You freeze a grape, and then you put it in, and then it tastes, the grape absorbs in your wine. Drink. A lot of times they'll do it in white wine.
You put it in white wine so it doesn't water down your wine.
I love that.
Right? And then, yeah.
I was sitting with my mom. My mom doesn't give a shit. So we're at my brother's wife's family's house. It's like my sister-in-law's family. And, you know, familially.
Yeah.
And we're drinking familially, you know?
And we talk
about Fast and the Furious. Familially.
Family.
You can have any beer in here as long as it's a Corona.
So my sister-in-law's father, he likes to drink like nice wines, you know? So he pours my mom like a beautiful, like, you know, Malbec or something or whatever, you know, like a nice red wine. And we're sitting there, and he pours in the glass, and then my mom takes fucking seltzer.
Oh.
She just cracks a seltzer, pours it in.
What flavor? Drops,
just a regular, like, no flavor.
Club soda, Ben.
And just drops ice cubes in and just drinks. She's like, I don't give a shit. Everything's getting spritzed with my mom.
That's like the most Long Island thing to do. Yeah. Like, you know, like just a Long Island mom. She's like, oh, some wine? Great. Let me get my seltzer. Shh.
Oh, nothing makes me happy when my mom makes red wine cold. She's like, I like wine cold. I don't know. What do you want? Like, you know, it's the best. It's like, because it's like most of the time someone pours me a wine, I wish it was cold because I just like cold drinks. But I'm not going to fucking put cubes in it. But my mom will drop ice cubes in a wine. She don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
Sherry. I love that. There are no rules. My mom's very deep, you know, no DQ when it comes to wine. But yeah, so we were saying, yeah, it's true. So who decided that the grape flavor for like candies and stuff is related to grape? Let me tell you,
there's a couple superior grape flavor things. One, grape blow pop, severely underrated grape blow pop flavor.
I was never a fan of the grape blow pop, but now that strawberry. You're saying it, my brain is going like, I should revisit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The strawberry blow pop flavor is like fucking dynamite. But
great.
Grape flavor, incredible. And then grape Big League Chew, fire. Like absolute flames.
That was a big grape. Hey. Watermelon flavor? Nothing to do with watermelon either. Correct?
Yeah, it's
that's
it's interesting.
Right? Like watermelons they taste like that. They
peach
wish.
Flavor.
Yeah.
Peach.
I think people like
cherry flavor
more.
Cherry.
Yeah. I think people like watermelon. Yeah, cherry is kind of close, right?
They like watermelon more than watermelon flavor.
And I think that the PR that the watermelon flavored candy has done has made people think they like watermelon more than they do. Because the watermelon's refreshing, but it's not doing for me what a watermelon candy. Like, that flavor is fucking great. Whoever decided that's watermelon, I love that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm a big watermelon guy. I love watermelon flavor.
I don't like watermelon, but I eat it. Okay?
Oh, I love
it
watermelon.
It tastes like a dirty
you're crazy.
Sponge.
No, you're dumb.
I eat
that's
it.
That's a horrible statement. That might be your worst take of all time.
The texture of watermelon is filthy sponge. Okay, and let me tell you, go to your sink right now. You know, sometimes the sponge is underneath all the dishes.
I got them. I even have one of those smiley face ones, you know.
But I eat, can I say something? I eat watermelon. I've learned to like watermelon because it looks so refreshing and everybody enjoys it. And I love the ways you can serve watermelon. You can ball a watermelon. That's fun. And but most importantly, that you could pizza slice a watermelon. Yeah. I don't want to be a guy who's not partaking in that. But I don't, like my brother, literally my brother, Mikey, he takes a watermelon, like a huge one, right? He cuts it in half and just takes a spoon.
Yeah,
and eats one side, then the other. He eats a full watermelon one sitting.
Yeah, that's great.
Insanity.
You ever like have a salad with a little watermelon, a little feta cheese in there?
Yes, so watermelon, another thing. Great. It actually is interesting when you
Himalayan
use it to refresh something. Very good. But the texture of watermelon. Now
it's crazy.
Here's the thing about fruit in general. You rarely get a good one of almost any fruit anymore. Do you notice this?
You know what the fire watermelon flavor thing? You know
I,
what the
I,
fire
when was
watermelon
the last time
flavor
you had, like a great piece of fruit.
I had a peach the other day that just
you got a good
my
peach?
Socks.
I fucking
bro.
Never got a good peach.
Oh, you got to come to Austin, bro. We got all the peaches, millions of peaches, peaches for free, bro. I mean, they're everywhere.
You're
they
the
are,
United States, the President of the United States of America.
I'll get a peach out of the fucking fridge right now and eat it in your face and show you how fucking juicy it is. These cherries. I had cherries in my fridge too. Yo, I'm telling you, here's a life hack for everybody too.
Wow.
Instead of buying like junk food, just put a lot of really good fruit in your house and just eat that shit all the time. Because guess what? A peach is just as delightful as a chocolate chip cookie. Okay.
Okay. Where are you at on Christina does this? Where are you at on putting like stevia on fruit or like sweetener on fruit?
No, there's no need. There's already so
illegal.
Much natural sugar. Yeah, that's crazy. What do you mean? You know? Shit, I was going
to
say
all right, one last thing I want to say about fruit. Did you ever eat, when I was a kid, I grew up, my mom made me bananas, strawberries, and sour cream.
Sour cream?
Yeah. My mom, you'd slice
not
up.
Not yogurt?
Slice up, no, not yogurt. You ever slice up banana, you slice up strawberry, you put it in, and you add sour cream.
Sour cream?
Yeah, sour cream. This was my mom fed me this as a kid all the time. We loved it. And anyone else have this? There's no way it's just me. Christina, have you ever heard that?
It feels like, listen, I'm not going to like, I'm sorry if this is like saying in the,
it might be too
like,
Jewish.
Feels like a,
is it
a
Jewish
thing?
It might be a Jew thing. No, it might not be a Jew thing. It's not anti-Semitic that things are Jew things. Okay?
That's like my mom serving me like, cantaloupe and honeydew with a little regatta on the side.
I know, but the Italians make better food.
Which is probably fire. No. Oh, yo, melon
Italian
with a little fucking
better.
Prosciutto.
You know how I feel about Italian food.
Yo,
Italian
like
food,
a good,
the best food. It's not even close. They smoke all things. But then
I was
the
listening
dessert
to
some... game, their cookies, are, we're talking about it. The cookies are
bro,
weak.
Chicken parm is like
the
most,
number one best food.
Someone was ripping on chicken. I was listening to something the other day. They were ripping on chicken parm. I wanted to kill him.
Who's ripping on chicken parm?
I was listening to some fucking something on YouTube was on it, and they were like, chicken parm, bro. It's kind of overrated. I'm like,
oh my God. Saying chicken parm is overrated is just it's actually the dumbest thing I've ever heard. All right. Let's talk about wrestling. But last thing I'll say was in Mexico. I love Mexican food so much. I went to Mexico. I ate so much Mexican food, so many tacos. It was fucking great. I did hit a place where I was like, I need a different cuisine, right? And I went in Mexico to a Thai place. Okay?
You get the drunken noodles?
I got like Patsy U and like a and like an appetizer sampler, you know? And let me tell you, it was so fucking good. If you eat Mexican for a week straight and then switch, do an abrupt switch, cuisine switch.
Yeah.
To like something like soy sauce based or something.
Yeah.
It is such a change. It is delightful. Yeah.
I got
Kevin Owens cut a great promo on Raw. What do you think?
Bro,
can we talk about Kevin Owens?
So someone asked in the Discord. Let's go to the Discord.
Where's Kevin Owens on the PWI? Let me look it up.
Yeah. John Rodriguez
said. I'm
going to
say he's in the top 30 is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, like, 29, maybe at 34 or something like that.
Nope.
At Tiptoe Tulo, was Kevin Owens' promo on Monday the best of his career? Sounded like shoot went off on Theory. Austin Theory during that whole segment.
Kevin Owens 36.
Number 36. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Kevin Owens is a national fucking treasure. This guy is the best of the best. He is in the money zone. And I honestly think we are on the precipice of probably the greatest run in Kevin Owens' career. Like, and it goes back to this WrestleMania and the work that he put in at this Mania. And now he's carrying over into this new the prize fighter Kevin Owens, where he comes out and challenges everybody. His promos are authentic as fuck. This week was insane. Insane. And like, he is everything that you love about professional wrestling. Guy knows how to tell a fucking story. He knows how to wrestle a fucking match. The shit he's doing in the ring now, too. I mean, you know, like if there was two titles right now, Kevin Owens would be the other champion.
Well, that you see, you just hit what I was going to say. Kevin Owens clearly in a money zone. We have WWE, you know, it's every dirt sheet article that's coming out right now is basically like, what else? WWE's got a real problem because Roman's got that title, you know? Because what do you do with a guy like KO? He, you know,
I'll tell you the perfect thing. You ready for it? Seth Rollins got Bobby Lashley next week on Raw. You have Seth Rollins win that title. And then you have Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
At what?
Easy.
Survivor
Whatever.
Series?
Fuck it. Who cares? Royal Rumble.
I mean, we don't even have a pay-per-view in the horizon. Oh, Extreme Rules coming up?
Extreme Rules.
Yeah, that could be cool. It's interesting, though, because it's like Roman's the champ. He's not there as much.
Here's the thing, though. What's going on in WWE is a lot of wrestlers are making names for themselves right now, and titles are important again, and like the mid-card titles are important again. So you see something like Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, you're like, all right, that's fucking cool as fuck, right? But there are so many wrestlers like shining right now that like it's not the worst thing, because WWE is in a sweet little zone right now where they're able to tell other storylines that don't have to involve titles, right? These personal, deep storylines. So, I mean, I'm here for it. I think Kevin Owens is on another level right now, and I'm so fucking pumped for him to be in this Triple H era, and that he stuck around and said, fuck it, I like being here at WWE and I'm going to do it. And now he's shining more than ever. And he even talked about in this promo too, about how he was handed, you know, how he's so savvy with that shit. Like he knew he was saying to Austin Theory, kind of like saw a little bit of himself. It's like, you've been handed these opportunities. And like instantly my brain went, well, Kevin, so were you, you know, Triple H literally fucking pedigreed Seth and helped you win. Like, and then he mentions it and you're like, see, this is a guy who fucking gets it, man. Just gets it. God, I fucking love that guy.
Well, I think that I think that Kevin Owens is becoming kind of like he's becoming like, you know, an elder statesman over there. Yeah, he's a veteran kind of at this point, you know, and he's like one of the top dudes. But it's interesting because he's like kind of one of Triple H's first guys, really, you know?
Good point.
And so you could say Seth, too, but it's interesting because for some reason the Shield guys, they feel more like Vince guys to me, you know? because they were
Brought up as the they were brought up as a Shield by Vince.
Yeah, and they're more traditional talents in terms of look and everything too.
Kevin Owens was Kevin Owens in NXT, and he was he's Kevin Owens in WWE.
Yeah,
Rollins, Roman, and Mox, and Dean, whatever, were those guys in NXT, and then they came up as the Shield. Much different scenario, you know.
KO also feels like a guy like won over Vince. Feels like a guy that Vince probably at first looked at him and was like, "What the fuck is this guy?" And then he was just like, "Oh, I feel comfortable with him main eventing Mania with Stone Cold," you know.
Yeah.
So like, you know, he gave him the highest praise. You know, he's a so I think it's pretty interesting. That role, it's just weird because I'm like, oh, he'd be such a great champion right now, and you're like, oh, well, can't you have the Roman thing in the way?
Yeah, but there's no real
IC title on Raw, you know?
Yeah,
you kind of have no titles on Raw, really, you know?
I'm interested to see where the direction of WWE goes now, especially that's a really great point. It's like, do we lose? Do we drop the brand like split? What do you think?
I don't
feels
know.
Like we're, it feels like we're trending because I'm starting to think like the titles are going to eventually change and get unified, right? So we'll have one title each. And then when that happens, you really got to kind of have to drop the brand split. Like there's no uniqueness. There's no point, you know? And I honestly don't think that's a bad thing for WWE because the talent is like overwhelming right now. Like you look across, I can name 20 wrestlers right now that are just absolutely fucking killing it, you know, like top to bottom. Like they are just stacked in a way. And half of them are probably women's wrestlers too. Like there's a huge, big difference between the two products and what WWE is and AEW is. And I kind of love them for both what they are now, you know? So I think we're going to see a lot more Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn's, or, you know, like, look at these wrestlers that you thought didn't really have a direction, but now they're starting to shine again. The Finn Balor's like, listen, Judgment Day is fucking cool. I'm sorry. There's no denying it. Like, they're fucking cool. It's a fucking cool stable. The shit they did with Dom this week too was good. And I'm still
Dominic
never abandoned.
Pretty fucking good in there. It's probably his best zone, you know?
Tell me about it, right? Like it's
well, they kind of played the thing. He like kind of they're like, oh, I made him a man. Like Rhea's like, I made him a man, right?
Dude, and it's fucking it's cool to see like what something looked like under Vince's direction to what it looks like under Triple H's direction, right? And it's just like, damn, like this guy can literally take the things that were working and shine them up, but then take the things that were shit on, and then he's like, all right, reset button, let's go. Like there's wrestlers still back there, like the Dominic Dijakovic and the Mustafa Ali's.
Oh,
and
yeah, Dijakovic. Remember him?
Like, there's guys just waiting in the wing. And now there's also this vibe of NXT, too. Again, like, I texted you, and I think this is, like, one of my main points. Like, you know, Black and Gold is back, and Triple H starts recruiting wrestlers back. Like, think about that. It's, like, building up NXT, like, again, like, to bring in this talent to put these wrestlers. Think about these indie wrestlers that never thought about going WWE anymore. Now we're like, shit, if I go to NXT, sharpen my skills. If I make it to WWE, sick. If I don't, I'm going to be even more primed on the indies, or I'll be fucking signed by AEW. So like it all starts to make sense in a crazy way. What the future of WWE looks like. And I think that's attracting a lot of eyes, like from all directions. I think AEW wrestlers are starting to look, I think indie wrestlers are starting to be like, oh, shit, I thought I was going to go to AEW, but now, like, oh, I can get into NXT and work my way up. Like, there's going to be a lot of room, too, because Triple H has his guys down there, too. The Mellos, things like that. Like,
it's interesting because you know what's interesting? It's interesting because you know what's interesting is what I just said. But it's interesting because timing is everything in wrestling. That's and timing is everything in anything, truthfully. But
can I just interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
Real quick. Hold your thought. I just got an update on my phone from ESPN that said NFL or WWE. Travis Kelce is body slammed by Chargers Derwin James Jr. in one of the more wild tackles you'll ever see. So if you don't think wrestling's on top of the world right now, you're crazy.
I do. I think it is. So what I'm saying is what's interesting is how timing plays into everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Gargano easily could have signed with AEW, right?
Mm-hmm.
And been kind of in the Adam Cole jabron zone, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, and then the timing kind of worked out for him to come back to WWE at like the really perfect time for him. And the timing for Gargano is, it reminds me of like when Moxley left WWE, right when AEW was starting up, you know? And yep. Then he showed up at All Out, right? They like worked out a deal with him. He didn't leave to go to AEW. It just kind of worked out that way, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And I think for Gargano, he got lucky he didn't go to AEW, you know? He went back to WWE at the perfect time. Because did you see his gear?
Yeah.
No Marvel shit on it, you know?
I don't know what that was. Yeah.
I looked it up because I follow who makes their gear. By the way, there's a good follow on Instagram. This guy, I think it's called Main Event Gear. Let me look it up. This guy is worth following.
Read the description.
Ooh. Shit. Hold on. I'm trying to find. What's the name? Is it Main Event Gear?
That sounds right.
I'm trying to find the handle. Yeah, here it is. It's at Main Event Gear. It's all. This guy makes like the gear for like tons of wrestlers, WWE guys, you know. And he posted Gargano's. Yeah, he posted Gargano's gear, and it's, I think, it's the Cincinnati skyline, I believe.
Mm.
So that's fucking cool. Cleveland skyline. Cleveland. Hey, that's fine. The dude's from Cleveland. That's fucking good, you know? But this dude, if you follow him, he made his new vest, which was sick. Look at this vest. You can see the picture here. Yeah,
the light's gonna. This never works, Dan.
This works.
Never works, Dan. Oh, yeah.
His vest was fucking cool. It wasn't cosplay. And, yeah, but he makes Edge's gear. This guy makes Hangman Adam Page's gear, like all the good shit. Ricochet's gear. This guy's making all the shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what this guy does on Instagram is that whenever the gear debuts, you know, then, mm-hmm. like, once they walk out, he posts pictures of it. And, like, it'll post even his original drawings for them, like the blueprints of it. Dude's good.
Love that.
It's weird how the only guys who do cosplay, like, it never bothers me is fucking New Day, you know?
When they did that Scorpion Sub-Zero, that was dope.
Yeah. Their shit's kind of fun because it's, like, it's kind of all part of their thing, right? They're kind of, like, fun like that. But anyway, yeah, so Kevin Owens in a good zone. When do you see Austin Theory cashing in, you know? I think they might ride this out for a while, you know?
It seems like we're going in that direction, right? Like, I don't know when it's going to happen. So it's very interesting to see.
They're probably going to split those titles, and then he'll go for one of them, right?
Man, he's fucking talented, dude.
He's looking so jacked. He has the most jacked arms. I mean, yeah. He's a huge, such a Cena. He's becoming like a Cena build, right? We've said this before. He looks like Cena, you know?
He's I think he's in a very unique zone where all the like failures are working very much in his favor, you know, like all the crazy stuff. It's making him very hated. It's like, that's exactly what you want with a briefcase holder. You know, it's interesting.
Jumping to the other thing we were talking about. So Logan Paul is going to be on SmackDown this week to address Roman Reigns.
Wild.
So like, I think people kind of got worked by this. I think they kind of just mentioned it casually on their podcast. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, maybe it's a real thing, you know, Roman, Logan Paul. It's kind of hard for them to when you know Logan Paul Roman.
It's a very, very smart move in terms of like eyes.
Yeah,
and right now there's eyes on the product. So if Jake Paul is gonna fight Anderson Silva, and you know, Logan Paul's going to wrestle Roman Reigns, there's going to be a lot of current buzz going on about that happening. And you know what? They're a multimedia company. People are going to fucking see those clips. That podcast got like insane amount of views in like a short amount of time. It was like 1.5 million in like no time. It's like
the real question is Logan Paul willing to just lose to Roman? You know?
Yeah. Why not?
Well,
to wrestle these Roman
guys got
fucking
big
Reigns.
Fucking egos. You know?
Is Logan Paul willing to lose to fucking Roman Reigns?
Yeah, why
dude.
Not?
It's professional. Yeah, he's not CM Punk.
Well,
demanding
he
that
might actually
that
be like, yo,
loses.
I want to fucking, and not that he's gonna win. They won't let him win, but he might. You know, I don't know. I could see crazier shit. Him being like, yo, here's the deal.
He beat the Miz. Good enough, bro. You know, if
Logan Paul puts up a good fight against Roman Reigns, is that kind of silly?
No. Not at all.
He came into wrestling this quick and then is immediately.
And he's a big dude, and he's all right. He put up a good fight against Floyd Mayweather. Like, I know that's a fucking ridiculous statement, but he like fought Floyd Mayweather, you know, like he can wrestle Roman Reigns. Sure.
Oh yeah. What happened with that fight? I didn't see that, but what happened there? Just
like
time?
8 rounds. It was like a
doesn't
joke.
Like Floyd Mayweather just always go to time?
Yeah, pretty much.
He
but
just
like,
goes all the rounds.
Very much a calculated fight, if you want to call it that.
I do want to call it that. So, what do we got for Extreme Rules? I know it's Liv is going another Ronda Rousey match, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ronda's trying to recruit Shayna Baszler. Yeah. They seem to have a moment backstage, which is cool.
Oh, the only
Shayna
match
looks
we
fucking.
Have Liv.
Shayna looks sick, dude, man. We had Damage Control now winning the tag titles back. Yeah. Or not back, but winning the tag titles. I'm thinking, did you see? Let's take a little hot chick detour here.
Yeah.
But Sasha and Naomi, New York City
Fashion Week. I saw that.
Man, and like, dude, like.
That was pretty
fun. Let's get that. I'm like so hyped for Sasha's return, dude. I am. And Naomi's return too.
Back together, right?
I don't know. I hope so, but like, I am like insanely hyped for that. Like in a wild, wild way. Like,
yeah. You're a dirty dog. What can we say?
And Solo won the North American title on NXT. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Bloodline got another title.
Yeah. I figured they just did that just so he could walk holding a title with them, right?
I said, here's my thing. You ready? What I want? I want Sammy to go down to NXT and beat Bron Breakker for the NXT title. And then, like, Sammy and Solo can run the show for the Bloodline on NXT. And then have the titles on the
fucking cool.
And then have the titles on the main shows, too. They carry them around and then show up on NXT. I think that's a money thing for Triple H to do. That kind of cross exposure. That's what he wants. And then it leads to fucking Survivor Series. Ooh, doggy.
It was fun. A lot of cool shit going down. What do we got for, I don't know, what do we know, SmackDown Rampage this week? Nothing?
Well, I will say, we got next week we got Grand Slam. We have Orange Cassidy versus Pac. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy versus Pac. We have to go here, but holy fucking shit, the Acclaimed are over. I mean, goddamn. I mean, talk about these guys are going to win the titles at Grand Slam. It's going to be fucking sick. They're going to, you know, Long Island, Max Caster, New York guys, like hometown, like they're going to win those things. It's going to be sick. And then we got the title match, and then I don't think Wardlow has a match yet, but I will say, man, like, this fatal four-way for the women's match. You just did a fatal four-way at fucking All Out. Now this, like, come on, man. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to fucking book a woman's storyline. It's so fucking crazy, dude. They have Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter standing right there. The rivalry's brewing. Have them wrestle to fucking wrestle Tony Storm, you know, on Friday. Like, Rampage is live, too. Like,
yeah.
Just, man, just drives me fucking
crazy. They're trying
crazy,
to figure dude. That all that out. They got to find out a way to make Tony Storm a little more interesting. I like Toni Storm. She's very talented. I like that she's the champion. I'm not knocking that. I just think that I could use a little more from her. I'm always.
Why is Jade not on Dynamite?
I don't know.
She's a TBS champion. It's on TBS. Why is she not on there every fucking week?
That's weird that they all those titles. It's AEW. All the time. I mean, we talk about it over and over. The titles, it's a bajillion titles. Anyway,
fucking yeah. So ROH stuff. We got Samoa Joe versus Bear Grylls or whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
It's weird. Joe. They kind of like bury Samoa Joe in ROH. It's kind of odd. Samoa Joe, I think, is a big fucking star. Like, let's see, like, Samoa Joe Wardlow. You know what I mean? Let's see some big fucking matches over there, you know? I don't know why Samoa Joe always kind of – I don't like Samoa Joe holding that ROH title. That's cool, man.
Like, we got –
it's a cool idea, but he's Samoa Joe. Like, he's one of their big...
Samoa Joe should be
wrestling Moxley and shit, you know?
Yeah, we got Jay Lethal, fucking wettest fart of fucking all time. That guy's a wet fucking fart.
All right, let's get out of here. Know. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, I think this was fantastic.
We're back, baby. Let's try to... we'll coordinate our schedule this week, see if we'll get one in. But everybody, thanks for fucking coming back. I'm glad we're back at studio, baby. Good to be home.
Can I just answer a question real quick?
Do it real quick. Oh, I didn't see
M. Kohler said, with PWI just releasing the top 500 wrestlers of 2022, who are the top five hot guys to take detours to? Easy. One, Wardlow. Two, Wardlow. Three, Wardlow. Four, Wardlow. Five, Hangman Adam Page.
All right. You heard it here first, everybody. The hot guy detour. Wardlow. Hangman Adam Page. Patreon.com. Support the podcast. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes, which will be popping up randomly, sporadically. Throughout, we'll try to get one in this week since we were out. I'll check your schedule. We'll check it together. And
maybe we'll have a good off the path bonus episode to do.
Well, we're gonna gotta do a Game of Thrones.
Did you watch? Did you watch the last episode? Yeah.
That episode was great.
Rothel's so hot right now.
That episode was really good. The show got spicy from that. The drama they created there that it'll go out throughout the whole rest of the series was great. Love that. It's always I won't spoil it. We'll talk about it in the bonus, but always familial
sexual tension.
That's gotta be the name of it.
That's it. Familial sexual tension. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Everybody, hey. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Don't worry my ass.